North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week. I'm Jack Peterson. I'm here as usual on Friday mornings with Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Yeah.
It's a nice day.
Beautiful day out there.
Yeah.
Cool, but very sunny.
Yes. And it's supposed to be nice tomorrow and then perhaps rain on Sunday.
Hey, spring.
That's the way it goes. We are also joined this morning by Max Oswald, who is the sports editor for the Bonner County Daily Bee. Good morning, Max.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here this morning.
Absolutely.
And apparently we're not streaming right now, but we will be back on the web soon. We have a gentleman walking into the back door of the studio right now to fix that. So this should be streaming momentarily. Meanwhile, those of you in radio land, thanks for tuning in. Here's the news. On Monday and Tuesday, if you were somehow unaware or did not hear it here on 88.5 KRFY, there was a pair of candidates forums for county office on Monday and then for state office on Tuesday. And those were only among the contested races. Those are not all the candidates who will be on the ballot in November, but it was for all the races which will be contested on the May 21st primary ballot. We'll dive into our response to that in just a bit. But going on in state politics, Idahoans for Open Primaries met their goals. 90,000 signatures were collected, and they met the 6% threshold in 20 legislative districts. In both cases, that exceeds the minimum. So even with the possible some signatures are expected, of course, to be invalidated for one reason or another. But even so, Idahoans for Open Primaries is fairly confident that they have met their goal and will be on the ballot.
Won't be actually certified. I think it might be up to a couple months from now before they get the official word from the state that they did meet those thresholds. But they're pretty confident they did.
Yeah. Out in West Bonner County, this is something we haven't talked that much about, but there's another item on the ballot on May 21st, in addition to all the candidates who were there at the forum. There is a levy for the West Bonner County School District that will be on the ballot on May 21st, and there will be, at the recent meeting of the West Bonner County School Board, they determined the schedule for informational meetings, which are coming up. I don't think I'll list them all right now, but perhaps later in the program. But there are going to be a number of informational meetings if you're interested in learning more about the levy that is on the ballot on May 21st. This will address safety, security, and maintenance costs. It will also address the HVAC and boiler issues, some plumbing issues, and purchased services and supplies. A school resource officer is also on the levy. And additionally, some extracurricular issues and the transportation system, which was one of those important details that the State Board of Education was coming down on the West Bonner County School District for failing to be in compliance with during the school district struggles of last summer. Speaking of schools, Lake Pend'Oreille School District has received a grant for vape detectors. So vape detectors will be installed at all the local high schools and cracking down perhaps on the the vaping that goes on at local high schools. I'm not sure how much of an issue that is or how effective the detectors are. And I'd be curious to learn, because I didn't even know that was something you could buy a detector for. But they have received a grant to install vape detectors. The plans for the Sagal development of US 95 are still in the early stages. There were a couple articles in both papers, one written by Representative Mark Sauter, an editorial in The Reader, and then Lauren Reichenbach had an item in The Bee just mentioning that the Sagal development is not a done deal or set to go through, and the Idaho Transportation Department is still looking for public comment and input after some recent response to the proposed expansion of Highway 95 in between, I think, Dewford and Lakeshore. And there is some sporting news as well, which we can get to in a minute. Should we go over the forums, our initial response to the forums before we talk about sports, you think?
Sure. Let's touch base on that.
These forums were put on Monday. The Daily Bee was the host of the forums with the Selkirk Association of Readers, Realtors, pardon me. The county offices included the county commission and the sheriff's office.
Those are the contested races.
Yeah, those are the contested races for.
They're also on the ballot will be the Bonner County Assessor and the prosecuting attorney, but those are uncontested. The assessor, Dennis Singlehart, did show up and gave a short talk. But otherwise, it was just the. These were all Republican races because there aren't any Democrats filing for these.
It sounds like we're back. We're streaming, folks.
Okay.
All right. Yes, we're back online. I'll mention also that these were all Republicans on Monday. Everyone running for a Republican nomination, at least in District 1, which is the district south of the, more or less south of the Long Bridge, there will be a Democratic challenger to whoever gets the Republican nomination there,
but that'll be in County Commissioner District 1, yeah.
Right, in November. But otherwise, all the races will be determined here in May, or at least there mm-hmm. won't be anybody else on the ballot in November but the Republican nominee.
Mm-hmm. And for County Commissioner District 1, that's that Sagal district, although important to note that everybody votes for these guys, no matter what district they're in. So no matter what part of the county you're in, you're voting for all the open county commission seats of which are two, District 1, District 3. In District 1, it was Brian Domke and Brian Riley, who the Republican candidates are, and came to speak at the forum. However, James Burrows, who's on the ballot as a Republican candidate, he didn't show up, and it's been really spotty. He turned down our invitations to interview mm-hmm. here. Well, he didn't turn them down. We were never able to actually get a hold of him. He didn't return multiple emails, tried to call him, but the phone number at the elections office had for him and wouldn't connect up. He's on the ballot, folks, but he didn't come to the forum. And then in District 3, it was the two candidates for County Commissioner Ron Korn and Dmitry Borisov, both and Luke Ahmet, the incumbent, came for that. And there were pretty clear differences between the candidates. If far more than we can go into here, Jack. I don't know mm-hmm. if you had any impressions on those two county commission races.
On the commission races. It was fairly civil, I would say. No, it was not. The sparks were flying more in the sheriff's race than they were in the commission race, to be expected. I think the race that features an incumbent, the District 3 race, was perhaps a little more testy with Commissioner Luke Ahmet kind of defending his record.
Right.
And it was, I guess they did talk about sort of population growth and housing a little bit. And then otherwise, there was a good deal of discussion of kind of the inner workings of the county commission, mm-hmm. Or the lack of workings of the county commission to some extent, how conflicts are resolved and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Since that has been an issue.
Yeah.
And for the sheriff's race, as you mentioned, there were definitely some sparks there.
Yes.
Stephen Bradshaw, the challenger to the incumbent Darrell Wheeler. Bradshaw is the incumbent county commissioner, but he chose to run for sheriff this time. He was pretty forthright in his criticism of Darrell Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd suggest, if you really want to get up on the forums, that you could go to KRFY.org. On the homepage, there are links to our recordings of this forum, and as well the forum on Tuesday, which KRFY and Sandpoint Reader and Sandpoint Online hosted for the legislative races.
That is correct, sir. KRFY.org. I actually ran into somebody at the grocery store on what would have been, I think, Wednesday, and who recognized me from the forums and said, "Hey, how can I listen to those?" So we're
okay.
There you go. KRFY.org. Yes, they are available in their entirety, and you're right. That is probably the best way to catch up on them. The sheriff's race, they did kind of. As highlighted here in the there's also extensive coverage in the Reader
and the B
and the B in both cases several articles or a couple pages in the Reader, and then there's been a couple articles written by Lauren Reichenbach and Evie Seberg in the B about the forums, and worth reading that coverage too. The sheriff's race, the response, and I would say this was a major point of contention going throughout the whole spring, was Wheeler's response to the request for certain members of the public to be removed from the. From the county commission meetings, or at least to be kept in check. The criticism leveled by Bradshaw was that Wheeler was not doing a good job of enforcing the rules of the room, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And Wheeler, on the other hand, said that to arrest somebody. It was not his job to arrest somebody for being disruptive or perceived disruption, especially when later the case against that individual was dismissed with prejudice. So different sides of the issue there.
Mm-hmm. Those candidates definitely have a history with each other.
Yes, and they and of course at this the meeting in question, they were on opposite sides of. Physical altercation. Mm-hmm. Well, to some extent, I guess it was not that it came to blows or anything like that, but somebody was physically removed from the building, not either of those individuals, but yeah.
Right. From one of the county commissioner meetings.
Yeah.
So anyways, that was what happened at the Monday forum. On Tuesday, the forum was about the legislature races. And that's Idaho Senate with the incumbent Scott Herndon and Jim Woodward, who held that seat prior to Herndon defeating him in the last election 2 years ago. So that's a rematch, if you will. For the House seat A, the Republicans there were Spencer Hutchings, Jane Souter, and Mark Souter. Mark Souter is the incumbent, and no relation to Jane Souter. Mm-hmm. That could be a little confusing on the ballot
It keeps coming up. It keeps being mentioned every.
And there is a Democrat in that race. She's going to oppose Karen Mathey. And then House seat B, that's the seat that Sage Dixon is vacating because he's not running for re-election after, I think, 10 years as our representative there. Chuck Lohman and Cornell Razor are the two Republican candidates. There are two Democratic candidates, Catherine Larson and Bob Vicarious. Bob Vicarious didn't show up, but Catherine Larson did speak. And, of course, there were some big differences between the Democratic candidate and the two Republican candidates. And actually, there were pretty stark differences, I'd say, between the two Republicans, Chuck Lohman and Cornell Razor.
Yeah.
All these candidates spoke well at the forums. And I think if you do want to get a sense of which of these candidates might best line up with your own values, again, you could go to our website and hear that forum at carefy.org, listen to the recording.
Yes. And to be clear that, although Karen Mathey was there, was present, Catherine Larson was present and spoke on stage, she won't be on the same ballot as her opponents in the...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you take a Republican ballot, you're not going to see her. You'd have to be voting on the Democratic ballot.
Yeah.
Because it is a primary election. Again, primary election's May 21st. We are continuing our series of interviews, and we're going to be talking with the sheriff candidates for this coming Wednesday. After that, we'll be talking with candidates for the Senate and legislature seat. Which one we have? Seat A still. So we have three more sessions of the morning show where we're going to be talking about those races. We also have interviewed the other candidates for the contested races. You can hear those on our website as well, KRFY.org. I think we need to get on to some sports, though.
By gosh, you're right. Max Oswald is here, and unless you have anything you'd like to say about the candidates forum, sir, we can discuss... Yes, the sporting news.
The candidates forum is kind of like a sport.
It is, yeah.
In a way.
If we're going to cover the horse race, who better than, yes, the sports editor. I'm going to throw out a couple of things before we get into team or organized sports. The ongoing K&K Derby, I think it's like the 78th or something like that, that's going on right now. A proposed pike fishing derby put on by the Lake Pontore High School coming up in May, the Panhandle Bike Ranch conditional use permit being approved, and the James Russell Sports Complex future. All of those things touch on sports. Do you have any comment on any of those items before we move into organized ball?
I don't think so, but I might go to the Derby.
Yeah?
So,
which one?
The
Fishing Derby.
The K&K Derby?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about a pike fishing.
That was just derby. In the B. Possibly this morning, or else it was. Yeah, it was earlier this week that there's the Lake Pontore High School. A few students have proposed and been approved, gotten all the necessary permits for. I think it's a 1-day pike fishing derby on May 15th. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A pike is a fish we did not even used to have in our. In our waters,
and I
here.
Think that's the purpose of the Derby. Yeah, yeah,
to pull some of those out. They are very predatory. Mm-hmm. So, are you going to get on a boat then if you're going to be fishing the K&K Derby?
Yeah, I'll have to find someone to bring me out, but yeah. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, you should definitely do it. It's really quite an experience. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of trolling around in a boat. You do a lot more fishing than catching in that derby, but when you do catch a fish, it's a big son of a gun. Yeah. So.
Yeah. The James Russell Sports Complex is an interesting feature that's coming to, it looks like construction is moving along very quickly. Do you know any plans for when that's going to be open and how it's going to be used? Anything like that? Have you heard from the tennis community or
I haven't heard anything, pickleball? Anything recently on it.
Yeah.
I have heard a lot about tennis, and tennis is doing pretty big things in the news.
Yeah, we have a championship level player here, right?
Yeah. So we talked about her before, but Pepper Rickert just was named the number one girls singles grand champion of the 77th annual Inland Empire Tourney, which is the largest high school tournament in the country. This year featured 57 schools and over 860 athletes. So chatter is that it was one of the most dominant performances in the entire history of the tournament. And I'll rattle off the results here. And just a reminder that Pepper Rickert, she is just a freshman. So she comes into this tournament last weekend. She defeats opponent from Gonzaga Prep, 6-0, 6-0. Opponent from Lewis and Clark, 6-0, 6-0. Quarterfinals versus Shadle Park, 6-0, 6-0. Semis versus an opponent from Chewila, 6-1, 6-0. And in the championship, she took down Maddie Nesbitt of Lake City, who is probably going to win the 5A state title this year. 6-0, 6-0, did not lose a single game. She's now ranked.
She lost only one game in the whole tournament.
One game, whole tournament. They can't remember the last time someone did that. So,
wow.
Yeah, she's ranked first across all divisions in Idaho right now.
That's impressive.
My goodness. And she's a freshman in high school.
Yep.
So, what, 15-ish? So, about 15 years
old?
Yeah,
that would like be that. My guess.
So, she was playing against seniors. Older,
she's playing against players. Number one singles of all the other teams, which most are juniors or seniors.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's exciting. What is a young tennis star like that do in like the off season? What's her life look like? Is it already shaping up like people are look to a big future from her beyond just high school athletics?
I know there is a lot of Division I schools that have already shown interest in her, and she competes year-round at tournaments all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
I even think she's doing some international tournaments in the future. So, yeah, big things expected from her. And, of course, her grandfather is Kent Anderson, the head coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's right. Mm-hmm. So that's that's some news from tennis. Is there more from tennis or sport court or court sports of that?
They're on about a 6-7 game winning streak, and they defeated Moscow last night 11-1, and on Tuesday they defeated Lake City 10-2. So they're rolling. Their only loss this year is to Coeur d'Alene, and it was 7-5, and. Doesn't count towards the regular season record, but at a tournament, they fell to Lewiston 9-5. Lewiston, another really good tennis program. They picked up some wins over schools like Pullman and Southridge the other day. They're defeating a lot of good Washington schools, and they did place 8th as a team out of 57 teams at this most recent tournament. Mm. So cool. Most of those teams from Washington as well. So
the tennis team or teams they play. Is it usually one school versus one school on a weekly basis, more or less?
Yep, it'll be just a duel, and then usually weekends or tournaments, or like Clark Fork Tennis, they'll play on a Saturday, and there's 6 teams in their league, and they'll all meet up at Lewiston and just play all day.
Oh,
it's like interesting because it's 1A through 3A's all combined, so the league is like Clark Fork, Orofino, Grangeville, Coeur d'Alene Charter. I know I'm missing one. And then there's actually a school called Cul-de-Sac. And it's a really small school. I think they have like 40 kids like through high school, the whole high school.
Wow. Cul-de-Sac High School.
Mm-hmm.
Are they at the end of the street?
That's a good question. When you look at a map, it kind of seems that way. So.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I don't know how even like a team, I mean, tennis is such an individual sport. How do they play against each other? A couple individual matches and a couple double matches, I'm guessing?
It'll be 3 girls singles matches, 3 boys doubles, and then there'll be 2 girls and boys doubles and 2 mixed doubles, and that's how you get to the 12.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll all play 2 set matches, and then tiebreakers if needed. Okay. They actually only, versus Lake City the other day, they actually only played 1 set matches because of the weather. They played 1 8-game sets usually the games go to six unless you need to win by two. But they played to eight because of the apparently there was rain here. I wasn't even in town, but there's like a huge rainstorm and they're
on Tuesday.
Yeah, playing between Travers and City Beach. It was kind of crazy, but it counts though. It all counted.
Wow, that's cool. Yes, we had some dramatic weather on Tuesday, no question. That was the first time I think I've seen lightning, thunder, and like snow all at the same time.
It was more like grapple.
Yeah. Okay, so there you go. There's tennis. Track and field is front and center in today's sports section. What do we know? And a dramatic picture, too. Very cool. Is that a photo by... Oh, it's not.
It is not.
It's not by Max Oswald. Okay.
It's by Erica Haynes, who is a great teacher at the high school.
Oh. Well, tell us about what's going on in the world of track and field.
So there's a lot going on. I'll try and sum it up. But we have a lot of school records falling. I may have touched on some of them on the last show. But more recently, Klein Fragoso just broke the school record in pole vault. 14 feet and 9 inches. He broke it with 14 feet and 7.5 about a week or two ago, and then he just got 14.9. He won the pole vault yesterday at the Meet of Champions, clearing 14 feet. And yeah, he's about first in 4A in the state by about a foot and 3 inches. So no one really close to him. And I know he told me he was looking to walk on at Colorado State next year. So big things in pole vault. I'll be coming out with a pole vault feature soon because we also have Devin McDaniel, who broke the girls' school record this year with 11 foot 6. And she's also looking to walk on him at Montana State. So pole vault program last 5 years at the high school, extremely impressive. 15 state qualifiers in the last four or five years. So always impressive is pole vault.
And these records falling, has there been some... I don't know. I mean, is there any way of attributing that to just more interest in the sport, or is there do we have new lighter poles made of carbon fiber or something like that? What's the deal?
I think we have a really good pole vault coach up at the high school. Was able to talk to him. His name is Blake Houchin, and sometimes in high school you get coaches that aren't, you know, haven't done the sport necessarily or have been super involved in it. They kind of just, you know, I remember my cross country coach in high school. He was actually like a D2 All-American javelin thrower. But, you know, he's still a good coach. But I think Blake is, you know, he's super involved with pole vault, and he's a good recruiter and a great coach, and he pole vaulted in college. And I think owe him a lot of credit, as well as the, you know, he told me he's had some luck with some really dedicated athletes over the last couple of years.
There's got to be a lot of technique in that sport.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd imagine, you know, I'm not too knowledgeable in how it's all done, but I do know 14 feet and 9 inches, really, really, really good for high school. And he's about, Klein's about fourth across the entire state, all divisions.
The javelin toss, you were saying that this might be Alex David's last javelin toss, maybe not captured here in photograph, but that's,
she had a big breakthrough day yesterday, throwing a new personal best mark by over 8 feet, and, she threw for 110 feet and 6 inches to win the javelin at the District 1 Meet of Champions. And she is a senior, and javelin is not a state-sanctioned event until next year, and the next meet is the official district championship, and then the state championships. Do not believe I know javelin's not offered at the state championship, and I won't believe it will be offered at districts either, and Alex, who's a senior, won't be able to throw it next year for Sandpoint, so probably her last time throwing it, and wow, she was impressive. We also have another javelin thrower who placed second, and her personal best is 115 feet and 6 inches. That's Jetta Tate, just a sophomore, so she'll be back next year.
And she won the champion tournament yesterday, is that right?
Yep, yeah. District 1 Meet of Champions at Post Falls, which is the top 16 individuals throughout the entire District 1, all classifications, so That's how I like to phrase it, is everyone ranging from Kootenai to Coeur d'Alene in District 1. So a really competitive meet, and impressive to win that. We also had a couple other individual champions. Like I said, Klein Fragoso won the pole vault. Paul Kent won the 2 mile in 9:58. He actually ran a 9:34 in the 2 mile, which is about 4:47 per mile. Second best time in school history. He ran that at the Walla Walla Legends meet last weekend. Ivy Smith, who's going to be going Division One, don't know where yet. She won the shot put once again.
Wow. Yeah, standout. Some standout athletes.
That's a fast time to run 2 miles in. At least it seems like it to me. I cannot comprehend.
You might get a 1 mile off in that time.
Exactly right. Yeah, I could do. Yeah. I could probably accomplish that still. Maybe, I don't know. that seems pretty quick. Breaks down to less. What did you say? About 4:40.
About 4:47 a mile, yeah. And then the record is 9:32. So he's about 2 seconds away, and that was set by
the school record.
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was set by Sam Lavora. And he graduated 2014, but he set it in 2013. He went on to run at Washington State, and he was really good. Mm-hmm. He was really good.
Yeah, I remember when he was here.
Well, real quick, baseball news.
Baseball?
If any.
Not much recently. We are in a 7-game losing streak right now. It is district playoffs starting on Monday, and still undetermined on who we face, I believe. It's either going to be Lakeland or Moscow, and that's going to be a loser-out game, and that'll be at Lakeland or Moscow. Mm-hmm. And for softball, let's add in, baseball junior varsity. I'm actually working on an article right now for them, and they finish out the season with a 12-game winning streak.
Mm. Wow.
So they beat Lewiston and Timberlake twice and beat Moscow and Lakeland 4 times each. After starting 3-6 on the season. So pretty impressive. They had about 5 or 6 players batting over 250 and about 4 or 5 pitchers under a 4 ERA. So, Sandpoint Junior Varsity. And also the varsity team is really young. So next year, it's going to be a really good year for Sandpoint baseball.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And earlier you mentioned we had some Sandpoint athletes that are doing really well at the college level.
Yeah. So, couple baseball players too, and 2023 Sandpoint graduate Cody Newhart, who is now playing at Lackawanna College, which is a junior college in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Funny enough, about 45 minutes where I grew up. Always somehow a Northeast Pennsylvania connection. But he had a doubleheader on Wednesday, went a combined 7-for-10 with 3 singles, 3 doubles, a triple, and 13 RBIs. Also had 7 runs scored. He had 9 RBIs in the first game, a team high. Also, 3 of his 4 extra base hits came in that first game. And so far, he's batting .333 this year across 45 at-bats. Also has knocked in 26 RBIs. And his team is riding a 7-game win streak, and I believe they play again today. So pretty impressive there. Also have a baseball player from Priest River, Jansen Lucas, who is pitching for Lewis Clark State College, who I believe just is ranked top 10 in the nation for NAIA. Over about 20 innings this year, he holds a 3.34 ERA, and he has 3 wins. He's been clutch for the Warriors, and he's really showing out.
Well, cool. Any other important sports events or news that we should discuss before signing off?
Yeah, I think I missed this last time, but we had a Priest River alumni, Tegan Holy Cross, who runs for Montana University.
Mm-hmm.
And he was part of the 4x1 record that was just broken. And I remind myself that it was a 55-year standing record. And himself and the other three were Jason Upton, Xavier Mellis, and Cooper Hewitt, and they ran 40.35 seconds in the 4x1. So the old record was 40.44, set in 1969.
Wow.
So, Priest River alumni setting their self in Montana University history. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, coming from a small school like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I do have one more. Just thought of it.
Go ahead.
It's important. It's important. Mm-hmm. Sandpoint alumni TJ Davis, who does track at Eastern Oregon University, he just won his third Cascade Collegiate Conference Decathlon Championship, and he won with 6,996 points, which ranks him as the number one NAIA athlete in the entire country. He finished first in the 110 hurdles, 1,500 discus, 100 dash, 400 dash, shot put, and the high jump. So he finished first in 7 out of 10 events, and the other three, he finished in second. And three of those, the 110 hurdles, 1,500, and discus, were all new conference decathlon records. So
no kidding. So we don't have decathlon at the high school level.
Nope.
So these guys don't get into this until they get to college.
Nope.
Yeah. So, I mean, he has to do all these different disciplines. That's pretty, it's quite a sport, actually.
Super impressive. Yeah. And I mean, just looking at the marks all again right now, I mean, they're all really, really impressive, especially the long jump in which he placed second, 21 feet and 6 1/4 inches. It's really far.
What are the 10 sports in the decathlon?
It'll be
shot quiz.
Shot put. 110 hurdles, 1,500, discus, 100, 400, javelin, long jump, pole vault. Am I missing one? Mm.
I think you're missing one.
And he got either first or second in each of those, you were saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't remember the other one. Sorry. But yeah, he is first and second in all of them. And
I could have miscounted too. Sorry.
He has won the national championship before.
But what did he do when he was in high school? What was his sports or his events?
That's a good question. I believe he did a little bit of everything. I think he graduated in 2019, so that was a bit before I came around. Mm-hmm. But I believe he was more of a sprinter in high school, kind of picking up the field events afterwards. I believe he also did long jump and all that stuff in high school. Yeah. But he really excelled in college, and we have a lot of, I mean, there's so much to talk about between all the college athletes. Bonners Ferry, Priest River, Clark Fork, Sandpoint, all those schools have athletes at the next level. And if you're interested in seeing more about them, I always run a weekly column in the Daily Bee. Mm-hmm. We could also shout out Forrest Ambridge, lacrosse, who just scored his first two collegiate goals. And he's playing for Southern Virginia University. He scored two goals and a win over Huntingdon College, which is in Montgomery, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Hey, we are we're over time. A little programming note. We have an interview with the folks from the Farmers Market coming up next. Did you know that, Chris?
I did not know that.
Surprise. We have a 15-minute interview. Julie P. and Julie K. sat down with some people from the Farmers Market just to preview what's coming up.
It's starting tomorrow.
That's correct.
First of the season.
It is Farmers Market season. It is May, and stay tuned to listen for that. A little update on what's going on out at Farm and Park this weekend. And Max, anything you can tell us about what's coming up in the B, I don't know, next week?
No.
Okay.
I don't really know.
How would you know? The sports haven't happened yet.
A lot of district playoffs.
Yes.
So the next 2 weeks will be district and state playoffs for most of the sports. So hard to think about it. But
Memorial Field's been really hopping with all kinds of sports happening out there, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it'll be hopping all summer long. We'll have lacrosse summer league, and baseball and softball have travel teams now. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Memorial Field, a little bit of news from the Osprey Nest. They laid their third egg yesterday.
All right.
sometimes they'll lay four eggs, which sounds, well, great. You know, more chance for young chicks to be born. But when you have, if they were to hatch out four chicks, there's a ton of competition in the nest for food. And usually one or two of them will die. So you don't actually want to get too many chicks in the nest.
Okay.
So that's something people can keep an eye on if they go to the ospreys.sandpointonline.com and watch the webcam there.
Three eggs in the nest.
There's three eggs that she's sitting on now, yeah.
That's neat. how many, do you know when they're going to hatch?
The incubation period is about 36 days.
Okay.
So, yeah. Right. Yeah.
We'll look for that in, I guess, end of the month or early June.
We'll see what happens. You know, it's all kinds of, there's predators, there's other ospreys that come out and challenge, and they got a fish, you know, the male and the female trade off sitting on the egg so they can each go fish. So it ain't an easy life for an osprey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. That's democratic to let the male and the female both have a turn fishing. And good luck fishing yourself, Max. I hope you get out there, catch a big one, you know, have fun.
I'll let you know.
All right. Stay tuned for that interview with the Farmers Market coming up next, and then Otto's Eclectic Mix after that, all day long, right here on 88.5 KRFY. Thanks for listening to North Idaho News of the Week. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. It's root, root, root for the home team. And if they don't win, what else is new? And it's one, two, strikes you out at the old ball game. Play it, Jethro.